even the death of the cross. Now, there isn't any human being that's going to come and say, God, look what I suffered for you. Because you need to look at what Jesus suffered for you, even the death of the cross. Wherefore, God also has highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven, things on earth, things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. So in that is a tremendous amount of spiritual knowledge and understanding that needs to be working in your mind through the Spirit of God. Now let's go back to the book of John. And let's see what the book of John reveals to us about Jesus before he became a human being. John, the third chapter. Go back here. John 3. And let's pick it up in verse 31. John 3 and verse 31, and this is John the Baptist talking about Jesus Christ. It says, he that comes from above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthy and speaks of the earth. So this is clearly saying and talking about Jesus that he came from above. He came from heaven to this earth. You can read the account in Luke, the first chapter, about the begettal of Jesus Christ. The reason the Bible calls him the only begotten Son of God was because he was the only begotten Son of God, where there was God, the Word, who became the pinprick of human life for the impregnation within the womb of Mary to be born as a human being. He was the only one that God the Father had in that manner. For a purpose for us. When it talks about Jesus being the firstborn from the dead, the Greek there is prototokon, which means to be born from the dead. But the only begotten, monogene in the Greek, means the only, the soul, the single one that God the Father has begotten. And he is from above. But the rest of us, we're from the earth, earthy. And speaks of the earth. And he that comes from heaven is above all. Now let's go to the next chapter, chapter 5 and verse 19. John 5 and verse 19. Then answered Jesus and said to them, verily, verily, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself. How much did Jesus love the Father? How much was Jesus obedient to the Father? He said he did nothing of himself. He did nothing of his own initiative. But what he sees the Father do. And that's a very interesting statement here, if you understand it. If you have a King James, the ETH is seeing the Father do. So this gives us a little understanding as to the kind of communication that went on between God the Father and Jesus Christ when Jesus Christ was a human being on this earth. But it also refers back to what God the Father was doing before Jesus became human. So he did nothing of himself, but what he sees the Father do. Verse 37, it's come across the page. As the Father himself has sent me and has borne witness of me, you have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. This verse tells us clearly that the one who spoke to all the different human beings involved in the Old Testament was not God the Father. because no one has heard his voice, nor has seen his shape at any time. Okay? But they did see God, the one who became Jesus, as Elohim, as El Shaddai, and as Yahweh. That's why Jesus had to reveal the Father. Let's go to chapter 6. Chapter 6 and verse 38. Very clear scripture showing where Jesus came from. Verse 38. I came down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Again, Jesus was in heaven. Jesus was God before he became human. Verse 51. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. Now he speaks an enigma, which is spiritually understood that the Jews didn't understand, and there are a whole lot of other people that don't even understand it today. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. That's another whole topic. But the point I want to emphasize is that Jesus said he was the living bread that came down from heaven. Let's go to the next reference here. John 8 and verse 24. Actually, verse 23. John 8 and verse 23. And he said to them, you are from beneath, talking to the religious leaders there. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. And you know, as strange as it may seem, I heard someone say that Jesus was of this world. Jesus said, I am not of this world. So you see, just because someone sounds religious or looks religious or acts religious or quotes scripture or tells you a statement, how are you going to know it's true unless you get into the Word of God to understand it? Jesus said, I am not of this world. I say therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins, and if you believe not that I am. Didn't we cover that earlier in Exodus, the 3rd chapter? Who shall I say that sent me? I am that I am. Say that I am sent you. So Jesus is telling the Jews very clearly, unless you believe that I am, you're going to die in your sins. So he's saying who he was. I am. So notice verse 25. Then they said to him, who are you? And Jesus said to them, even the same that I said to you from the beginning. Quite a statement, isn't it? Now I want you to read all of John the 8th chapter. I've gone through this sometime in the recent past, so I don't want to belabor the point. But Jesus said of the spiritual leaders of Judaism that they were of their father, the devil. That if they were really honoring God the Father, they would do the works of Abraham and not seek to kill Jesus. Now let's go to verse 47. He that is of God hears God's words. I'm going to repeat that again because this is profound and very important for each one of us individually. Do you say you are of God? Do you say that you belong to God? Do you say that you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you say that you are willing to go to the death for Jesus, even as Peter said, Lord, far be it from you that you're going to be crucified, all go to the death with you. Let's read the statement again. He that is of God hears God's word. Now, there are things in the Bible that upset you. Are there things in the Bible that you won't do? Are there commandments of God that you don't agree with? Then you're not of God. Because Jesus said, he who is of God hears God's word. And again, and if you have an old King James, it's ETH. He that is of God is hearing God's word. You therefore hear them not because you are not of God. And they answered, the Jews said to him, say we not well, didn't we say it correctly and right that you are a Samaritan? Because he was born in Nazareth. And have a demon? And Jesus said, I have not a demon, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. And I seek not my own glory, but the one that there is one that seeks and judges. Verily, verily, I say to you, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews to him, now we know that you have a demon. Abraham is dead, and the prophets, and you say, if a man keep my sayings, he shall never taste of death. Are you greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets, which are dead? What do you make yourself? And isn't this the accusation that people have toward God in many ways even today? And Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is the Father that honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Yet you have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like you, but I know him and keep his sayings. Boy, those are very strong. Those are fighting words, because right after this episode, they sought to kill him right on the spot, but it wasn't his time. Verse 36, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then the Jews said unto him, you're not yet 50 years old. How have you seen Abraham? Now I want you to capture this one statement right here, verse 58. Jesus said to them, verily, verily, which means amen, amen, or truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham existed, I am. And the Jews understood that that was the name of God. I am. He told them very clearly who he was. Let's go to chapter 16. No, chapter 10. Beg your pardon. Chapter 10. John 10. Okay, John 10 and verse 33. The Jews answered when they were ready to stone him after Jesus said, my Father, which sent me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews answered verse 33, saying, Jesus asked them, why are you going to stone me? For which good work? Said, for a good work we stone you not, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Now, if he wasn't the Son of God, if he was not God before he became human, then it would be blasphemy. But you see, it wasn't blasphemy because he was God before he became a human being. And Jesus answered them, is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods, Elohim? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, How say you of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent in the world, you blaspheme, because I said, I am the Son of God? Can't be blasphemed. All right? Let's go to John 13. John 13. And let's look at verse 3. John 13 and verse 3. And Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God. As he's going back to God after the crucifixion. All right. Let's go to chapter 14. Verse 28. Where he says, the Father is greater than I. We'll just pass over that as a quick reference. Now let's go to chapter 17. And this becomes a very foundational, important part of answering the question, who was Jesus before he became human? Let's pick it up here in verse 1, John 17. These words spoke Jesus and lifted up his eyes to heaven and said, Father, the hour is come. Glorify your Son, that your Son may also glorify you. As you have given him power, that is authority over all flesh, that he should give eternal life to as many as you have given him. And this is eternal life, that they might know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Now that becomes a profound statement. Let's think on this with what we already know with the scriptures. In the beginning, Elohim, more than one. You shall have no other Elohim, more than one, before me. The Lord said unto my Lord, one like the Son of Man came unto the Ancient of Days. Now Jesus becomes that pinprick of life, becomes a human being. Jesus is praying to the Father, and guess what? In heaven, how many gods are there? Because Jesus revealed the Father. The one who became the Son was on earth. How many gods were there in heaven at the time Jesus was praying? One. That's why he said here, the only true God. And Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. I have glorified you on the earth. I have finished the work which you gave me to do. Now notice verse 5. And now, O Father, you glorify me with your own self, notice the next sentence, with the glory I had with you before the world existed. So you have to conclude that Jesus was God before his human birth. God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son are the only two revealed gods that we have in the Bible. When Jesus was on earth as a human being, there was one left in heaven, God the Father. That's why he was the only true God at that time. Jesus Christ, as we will see later, was resurrected, and he also is God. All right? Let's finish here in John 17. Let's go to verse 24. Verse 24, Father, I will that they also whom you have given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you have given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. So we put all of these scriptures together. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Jesus came from heaven. He emptied himself and became a human being, and still, while he was God, it was not robbery to be equal with God, because he was. So the glory that he had with him before the world existed, and God the Father loved him before the foundation of the world. There's absolutely no getting around it whatsoever that Jesus was God before he became a human being. Now let's go to the book of Titus. And let's see what it says about Jesus Christ being God. Verse 13, Titus, the second chapter. Looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing, notice, of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And he is called God, our Savior. Okay? It's exactly what it's talking about. He is the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, let's go to Colossians, the first chapter. And let's see what it talks about Jesus Christ being the firstborn. Colossians, the first chapter. Because there was an operation that happened. And that was with the death of Jesus Christ being in the grave 3 days and three nights. When he was resurrected out of that grave, there was a new creation of God, which we are to follow. And Jesus Christ, in that sense, is called the firstborn, as we will see, from among the dead. Verse 15 is talking about Jesus Christ, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. Now, some people might construe this to mean that he was the firstborn of every creature. No, that could not be, because it means the firstborn of everyone created into the God family by the power of the resurrection. For him, by him were all things created that are in heaven. This substantiates John, the first chapter, doesn't it? That are in the earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by and for him. And he is before, or that is the preeminence. He is before all things, and by him all things consist. Says in Hebrews, the first chapter, that Jesus upholds the creation by the word of his power. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Now there it is. That's what it means to be firstborn from the dead. That's the difference between the only begotten Son of God, monogone, and the firstborn, prototokon, which means the firstborn out of the grave from the resurrection of the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, and by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven. Well, let's go to Revelation, the first chapter, and we'll see a repeat of the same thing. And you know, this is what becomes exciting, because if God, which he did, emptied himself and became a human being, and then he says, I have forgiven all of your sins through my sacrifice, and now I want you, as many as he will call, to enter into the same kind of life that I have through the power of the resurrection from the dead. Revelation, the first chapter. And verse 5. And it says, and from Jesus, who is the faithful witness, the first, it says, begotten from the dead, but this is not monogune here. This is prototokon, which means the first born from the dead. Now, let's go back to Romans, the 8th chapter, and we'll finish our study right here in this particular section, Romans, the 8th chapter, so we know without a doubt that Jesus, before he came, became a human being, was God. Emptied himself of all of his power and glory and divinity, lived a perfect life, though he was completely human, yet filled with the Holy Spirit, suffered on the cross, died, was in the grave 3 days and three nights, and was resurrected out of that grave as the firstborn from the dead. And that becomes very important for us to understand when we come to Romans, the 8th chapter. Now let's pick it up here in verse 28. This is something that really hang on to and ask God to help you understand and grow in the grace and the knowledge and the understanding as God reveals it through his Spirit to you. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And that's what is so fantastic about it. God is saying to you, come, enter into my family. Come, accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Come and let me resurrect you at the end of the age so that you will be just like I am. Let's see that in 1 John, the 3rd chapter. Because this becomes the whole goal, the whole purpose of what God is working out here on this earth. This is the very reason for our existence and why it is so shallow to have all of the terrible and silly arguments over doctrine. Let's get our eyes and our minds on the goal, on the things in heaven above, not just the little flim-flam things here on the earth. 1 John 3 and verse 1, behold, what manner of love is the Father bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall see him as he is, for we shall be like him. And that's why Jesus was God before he became a human being, so that he could bring many sons unto glory and fulfill and complete the plan of God.